The book of Acts, the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and much misunderstood. And we have seen that in the book of Acts, there is a baptism predicted by John the Baptist, and it's historically recorded as happening in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. It's also repeated in Acts chapter 8 for the Samaritans and mixed Jews up there in Samaria. And then it's repeated again in Acts chapter 10 in the lives of the Gentiles under Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 in Caesarea. And then it's repeated one more time in the book of Acts, this baptism predicted by John for the disciples of John the Baptist that did not experience the norm. And what baptism is that that has to do with the Holy Spirit prophesied by John and that happens in the book of Acts that we've looked at and studied? What baptism is it? Who's the baptizer and what baptism? You know, Brother Luke, do you know?
Is it the one with Jesus or is it the one with the Holy Spirit?
It's the one with Jesus, and Jesus is the baptizer, and he baptizes with and in the Holy Spirit. And what is the purpose of that baptism, Brother Matt?
For the Jews and the Gentiles to be made into drink of the same water of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, no, not that one. What's the purpose of that baptism with and in the Holy Spirit?
To be able to soul win better?
That's right. Soul winning power. Amen. That is the baptism. The baptizer's Jesus. The element within and in that the people are baptized is the Holy Ghost. And the purpose is soul winning power. All right? And that's something that happened. And that is something that is especially for the final harvest, which began on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, that we can have that harvest. Then there is a second baptism. It's not mentioned in Acts 2. It's not mentioned in Acts 8. It's not mentioned in Acts 10. But that baptism is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:13, and it did happen in those situations for the Jews in Jerusalem, for the Jews and mixed Samaritans, and for the Gentiles in Acts 10, and for the disciples of John the Baptist. And who's the baptizer in that baptism, Luke?
That was the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and what were they baptized into?
The spiritual body of Christ.
Correct. And that is glorious. Good job. And the purpose of that is so that they could function in the local body of Christ, the local church, which is the only functional body of Christ and the only church operating now in this dispensation of the church age. So that is, there's only two baptisms. And that we are spiritual, that we've been studying, all right? And those are the two. So praise the Lord for that. And then there is a third thing that we said happened when these baptisms took place in Acts 2, in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 10, and with the disciples of John the Baptist in Acts 19, but now happens to every believer the moment we believe, because remember, Acts was transitional. So in this third instance, we said not a baptism, but what was the third thing with respect to the Holy Spirit that happened when these things took place?
A filling or a non-grieving, sir?
Well, not clearly stated. Just clearly state it for me so that people can understand it. What's the third thing we've studied that happened when these baptisms took place? And whenever a person gets saved today, with respect to the Holy Spirit, it happens to every believer in Christ. Raise your hand if you know one of the men. I need a man to give me that. All right, Brother Zukowski.
The permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, He is none of his. So they did not have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit when they were baptized by the Lord Jesus in the Holy Spirit to power in Pentecost. They didn't have the permanent indwelling in Samaria. They didn't have it in Acts 10. They didn't have that with John the Baptist's disciples in Acts 19 because that was a transitional period. But now everybody that gets saved has that permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Everybody that gets saved is now baptized by the Holy Spirit into the spiritual body of Christ and should get baptized and function in the local church. And now everybody that gets saved through prayer and through obedience to God can have the filling of the Holy Spirit for soul winning power, the endowment of power for soul winning power. Not everybody has it, but we can have it. It's open to us, young and old, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're indwelt now by the Holy Spirit. All right? I summarized the teaching, and we need to understand that, you see, and make sure that however you slice it, you have the understanding of that, and you're making use of what we have in Jesus Christ. Now, tonight, I want to begin a message called The Holy Ghost Sign Gifts of the Apostles. The Holy Ghost Sign Gifts of the Apostles. We've been looking at a series called The Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and I'm going to have to move along quite quickly, so if I don't ask you a question, don't try to answer, because I'm going right along here. We got a lot of material, but I'm going to move and cover as much as I can in the little bit of time we have, and then have one of the deacons close us in prayer to add to my prayer. But anyway, the first point I want to make, listen carefully, is the sign gift of tongues. Acts 2, 3 through 11, Acts 10, 44 and 46 through 46, and Acts 19, verse 6. I want to say that tongues is a sign gift in the book of Acts, which was the supernatural, listen, the supernatural ability given by the Spirit of God to speak in a foreign language that you had never learned. Let me say that again. The book of Acts teaches the sign gift of tongues is a gift from the Holy Ghost of God as he filled and empowered these people, these disciples, to speak the Word of God in a language that they had never learned. I can speak in tongues. Hombre, si la morena, a semiga de mi hermana, tanto mejor, tengo la reina, si, chico no sé, mamá quiere que la acompañe, a la tienda, se lo puede decir. Y en 10, 6 days, but I'm, now, that's just a bunch of gibberish. That's a Spanish dialogue that I learned in high school when I was in the 11th grade. And it is Spanish, and I don't even know what I said. And Awilda is hearing palabras, but she's not able to put them all together because, you know, it's just Spanish dialogues that I learned in Godwin Heights High School. And it is a language I would like to learn. I'd like to learn how to speak Spanish. I'd like to communicate to Spanish people and to put in the time and to do that. But it takes work, and you have to do it. Now, they have some good technology today that you can do some more, you know, with it. But anyway, that is the ability to speak in languages. And so there were travelers on the day of Pentecost that came to Jerusalem for that particular feast. And they traveled from all parts of the empire. Remember, the Roman Empire spanned many different languages, many different cultures, many different people. And these Jewish people were coming back to Jerusalem, back to Judea from their different countries. It would be like today if a bunch of Jews came and gathered together to Jerusalem, and some came from Russia, some came from Poland, some came from China, some came from Czechoslovakia, some came from Germany, and some came from England, and some came from Spain, and they came from all over, and listen to me, they all had their language of their native tongue, their mother tongue, that they spoke in. And so they would need to hear the word of God. And when these disciples were baptized by Jesus with it in the Spirit, and they were filled with the power to speak forth the wonderful works of the gospel of God to all these people, they were able, listen to me, without learning their language. These were just Galileans mainly. They were Galilean Jews. That's the language they knew. And they didn't know all these languages. But listen, God gave them the supernatural ability to speak in a language they'd never learned that would relate to these different countries that came in, these different mother tongues that came in. And they all, listen, they all heard them in their own mother tongue speaking about the wonderful works of God. And what an opportunity that was. And so here is the first mention principle of tongues in the book of Acts, and it's a supernatural gift to speak in a language unknown to the speaker and not the mother tongue of the speaker. So that's number one. It's a sign gift in the book of Acts, which was the supernatural ability to speak in a language that you'd never learned, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, able to speak that fluently. That's very often misunderstood. You know, some people get all excited and they do it. I know of a guy that went into a church. And he had a church where they had, many times people don't have, like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, when a person would speak in a language like that in church, there would be somebody else that would stand up and interpret what he was speaking. And a guy went to seminary, and he learned Hebrew in seminary. He put the time in. He learned it very well. And he quoted Psalm 23. He quoted it fluently in Hebrew. And somebody got excited, and they stood up to interpret it, and it was a whole different message. They gave this whole different interpretation. It wasn't Psalm 23. And so there's a lot of confusion today and excitement that is not really based in knowledge of God and His Word. That needs to be understood when we understand the gift of tongues. Secondly, tongues is called a sign gift among the other sign gifts listed. And that's in Mark chapter 16. Tongues is called, listen to me, a sign gift. And here's what the Bible says. It says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Notice it says, "These signs shall follow them." Tongues is a sign gift. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit that are not sign gifts. You say, what's that? Teaching is a gift that's not a sign gift. Exhortation is a gift that's not a sign gift. Helps or ministry is a gift that's not a sign gift. And showing mercy with cheerfulness is a gift that is not a sign gift. But these gifts that are mentioned here in Mark 16, and tongues is certainly one of them, is listed as a sign gift. And it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." That means new to the speaker. Tongues that the speaker never learned. "They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover the sick." So all of these gifts are listed as sign gifts. The gifts of casting out devils or exorcism would be considered a sign gift. Speaking in tongues, that would be considered a sign gift. Overcoming poisons, whether injected by the venom of a serpent or poisons that have been injected in one's body somehow, that would be, or drunk into the body and not dying or not being affected by that poisoning, that would be considered another gift and a sign gift. And then miraculous healing by laying on the hands of the healer. That's an overview of sign gifts. There are a couple of others, but those are the overview. Now, many people are confused, and there are many modern Pentecostal and charismatic groups when they emphasize the sign gifts, they normally ignore one of those gifts in Mark 16. Do you know which gift that is they normally ignore?
The poison.
Yes, the poison. Now, I say many, I didn't say not any, because there are folks that are sincere in the Pentecostal movement, and they do not ignore that gift of poison. And I had a church that was where I got saved. Actually, I got saved in Muskegon, Michigan. And the church where my folks got married, a Pentecostal group came in there, and they would be up late at night, and the neighbors would get upset because they would keep them awake and all that. And they'd be praising the Lord, and they were very sincere people, loved the Lord, but they had a problem in that they did not neglect the sign gift of rattlesnakes. And they would take the snakes out and praise the Lord and let the snakes bite them. And I respect them, because they didn't ignore all the sign gifts. That one is often neglected, but it is a sign gift, and it's mentioned here because it says in the Bible. Be quiet. It says in the Bible. Okay, it says in the Bible though. Would you listen? Would you listen, please? I don't forbid speaking in tongues, and I'll explain it to you. You're not even listening. Thank you. So, the sign gift, I respect these people because they felt like they weren't tempting the Lord, because it says here that these are things that they that believe will do as a sign. So just like he said, speak in tongues, they say, yeah, we'll speak in tongues, and they did. But they also, and what they believe were tongues, and they also handled poisonous rattlesnakes. And I respected that because they were sincere, amen? And they were sincere enough to practice what they believed. And yet, here's what I want to say tonight. They were sincerely wrong. I love them. They're my brothers in Christ. But the problem with these particular groups is they have a problem. Do you know what that problem is, Matt?
It's pride, sir.
Okay. The problem is they don't have many leaders left. They're a dying breed because they died of those snake bites. I respect them. They put their life on the line, but they died, and they're a dying breed, and studies bear this out because of that very fact. And so you can be sincerely wrong, and these people have been proven to be sincerely wrong. Now, but let's see it happening in the Bible. Does anybody know in the Bible where that particular sign gift was carried out? I want you to listen as I'm quoting it to you. It's in the Bible, in the book of Acts. And here's what it says. Now, our message tonight is sign gifts in the book of Acts. So let's look at it. Here it is in Acts chapter 28, verse 3 and verse 5 and 6. And I'm going to quote it to you. It says, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm." Then notice further, it says, verse 5 and 6, "Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, he was a god." There is the sign gift of the Holy Ghost that these people were bit and Paul himself was bit by a poisonous snake, and it says right here in the inspired word of God, it was so bad, the bite was so bad, the venom was so bad that he should have fallen down and died, because he had no anti-venom. He couldn't go to the hospital and get anti-venom. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. We have monoclonal antibodies, and monoclonal antibodies are an anti-venom. And they were always able to be used for Corona SARS-2, what they call COVID. And you were able to get that in the hospital. Guess what? This year they discontinued it. Fauci doesn't want it. The New World Order doesn't. Why? Because studies have proved that the peptides in the vaccine, which everybody keeps pushing, and they try to put you on a guilt trip if you don't take it. I'm not taking their guilt, by the way. I'm not getting on their guilt trip. Because I don't trust the devil's snake bite. And I believe it's a snake bite of the devil, and they found the peptides in these vaccines. The peptide is the same as a poisonous snake in China. Yep. And the same as a king cobra. Yep. And so why did they finally get rid of monoclonal antibodies? Because it's an anti-venom. If you get bit by a poison snake, and I knew a guy that got bit by a poison snake not too far from here, I think it was a cottonmouth. When he went to a hospital, he did not... He did not have anything more or less than monoclonal antibodies. And so what I'm saying to you is that they got rid of monoclonal antibodies as a treatment for what they call COVID, because they know that it has the same properties as a snake bite. But my point is that this is one of the sign gifts that Jesus mentioned. And we need to understand that the Apostle Paul did practice that particular sign gift. So number one, tongues are a sign gift in the book of Acts, just like getting bit by a snake is a sign gift and not dropping down dead. Tongues is called a sign gift among these other sign gifts mentioned in Mark 16 and Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Actually, Mark chapter 16 and where is it here? I'll get the right verses. 17 and 18. Mark 16, 17 and 18. Number two, these are signs in Mark 16 for the Jews concerning the offer to them to mediate God's kingdom over the whole world. You say, why did they have this sign of poison, being bit by poison and not dropping dead? Why did they have the signs of speaking in a language where you'd never learned the language and you spoke in that language? Why is that in the book of Acts? Why is that mentioned here in Mark 16? And why are these other sign gifts mentioned? All right, let me show it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, for the Jews require a sign. For the Jews require a sign. What do the Greeks want? The Greeks seek after wisdom. And so the Jews require a sign. Let me give you an example. When Moses was called by God to present himself as a prophet to the children of Israel and to tell Israel, God is delivering you from Egypt, what did God say to Moses? God sent Moses to Israel, but not before he gave Moses three signs to present to the people of Israel. Because 1 Corinthians 1:21 says the Jew requires a sign. So you go to Acts 4. I'm sorry, not Acts 4, Exodus 4, 1 through 9. And God said, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. All right, so what was the first sign? God said, I'm going to give you a sign, and that is you stick your hand, it'll be a good hand, stick it in your coat, and you'll pull it out, and it will be leprous. Then you stick it in again, and it will be healed. And so the sign was to heal a leprous hand, make it leprous, and then heal it. And Moses did that, and that was a sign. Listen to me. It was a sign gift given by Moses to prove to the children of Israel that he was God's man. But then God gave him a second sign. He actually gave him three signs. And the second sign was a rod. And he said to Moses, if you throw down your rod, that rod will go on the ground and it will become a snake. And that rod became a snake and it slithered around. And then he said, okay, pick up the rod. And he picked up the rod by the tail. And what happened to the rod? It became a rod again. And so that was the second sign. He had one more sign. And does anybody know that third sign that God gave to Moses? What was that third sign?
To turn water into blood.
Correct. He took water out of the Nile River, put it on the ground, and that water became blood. And God says that the Jew, listen to me, requires sign gifts. And you cannot understand the sign gifts unless you understand the book of Acts in its history and what was going on and what God was doing at that time. And so what was happening in the Gospels and what was happening in the book of Acts. In other words, when Jesus was preaching, he wasn't saying go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, was he? He wasn't saying that. He said, I came to offer it to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. I'm not going to take the children's bread and give it to dogs, he said to the Gentile lady. He was preaching the gospel of what? What was the gospel that he was preaching? Anybody know? One of the men know. What was the gospel he was preaching?
Of the kingdom.
That's correct. The gospel of the earthly kingdom of Christ. And so Jesus was offering the gospel of the kingdom to whom? To one nation, the nation of Israel. He wasn't going into all the world yet. That was going to happen, but not till the book of Acts, not till the day of Pentecost. Until then, they were to offer it to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so Jesus did that. And what did he do? He did the signs of the kingdom. And these were signs for the Jewish people. You say then, why are these signs done in the book of Acts? Because I thought we're preaching the gospel to the whole world. Well, can God walk and chew bubble gum at the same time? Yes, he can. And so while the gospel was being preached to the whole world, and while the Holy Spirit was baptizing believers into the spiritual body of Christ, which would reign with Christ in the kingdom as his bride, while he was forming the local churches, he was doing something else to Israel. He was doing something else to the nation of Israel through the apostles. And the question is, what was he doing through Peter in Acts chapter 3 as he preached and as we've studied before? And what was he doing through the apostles? Can one of the men tell me what was he doing, Brother Zukowski?
Offering the mediatorial kingdom.
He was re-offering the same mediatorial kingdom to the Jews that Jesus offered. You say, why would God do that? Because God puts up with a lot of stuff. God is very long-suffering. God is very forbearing with us. And he puts up with a lot of stuff. Amen? And if you're a child of God, you have to learn to be forbearing. You have to learn to be long-suffering. And that's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible even says when you're teaching, you have to teach pastors with what? All long-suffering and doctrine. It says don't fuss. Until God gives people repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And like Peter, they have to change their theology, even as Peter did, because Peter didn't believe that Gentiles could be accepted into the body of Christ. And my point is that you have to understand, if you want to understand the signs of the apostles, like tongues and like taking up serpents and being bit by them and recovering, and like casting out devils and so forth, that these were signs of the kingdom. They were signs of the earthly kingdom offered to Israel, and God was reoffering that kingdom through the apostles after Jesus ascended to heaven. And the apostle Peter even said in Acts chapter 3 to the Jews in Jerusalem, if you will repent and if you'll receive the Messiah, he will come down right now and he'll set up the kingdom and you will be the head of the nations. Of course, God knew they wouldn't repent. God knew that they wouldn't accept it, and that the worldwide gospel would go out, and that he would build the church. And even yet, after Peter offered that to the Jews, because he had the keys of the kingdom, still the apostle Paul went on throughout the Roman Empire, and he went first to the Jewish synagogues and reoffered the kingdom to the Jews throughout the Roman Empire and gave them an opportunity to accept their Messiah. And that was all part of God's plan, and that's why Jesus offered himself originally as the king of the Jews. But he had to rebuke the Jews of his day, and Jesus said, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now, Hebrews 6, verse 5 says this. It says concerning these signs that they are the powers of the world to come. Hebrews 6, 5 speaks of the signs of the mediatorial kingdom that we just mentioned in Mark 16. And listen to me, he says they are the signs that are the powers of the world to come. When he says the world to come, he's speaking about the earthly kingdom. There is coming a day when the Jews will accept their Messiah, and they will have their kingdom set up on earth. And so you have to understand that very fact. Now, Jesus offered the kingdom on earth to Israel, but when they rejected it, then it was reoffered by Peter in Acts 3, 19 through 21. Paul reoffered the kingdom to the Jews first in diaspora in Acts 13 through 28. Now, let me just go to the final offer where Paul was offering the kingdom to the Jews as he traveled through the Roman Empire. By the way, let me say this tonight, that the book of Acts is the progress of the gospel from the city of Jerusalem to what city? Raise your hand if you know. What city was it the progress of the gospel to?
Judea?
No. What city in the book of Acts does the gospel go from to? Jerusalem to what?
Rome?
Yes. Jerusalem to the city of Rome. Now here, I'm going to take you to the end of Acts. The last chapter of Acts is verse 28. So let's go there. Acts chapter 28, verse 27 and 28, and I'll read it to you. Here's what it says of Paul. And when they had appointed him, the apostle Paul, a day, there came many to him to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. For the heart of this people, Paul quotes the scripture, is waxed gross. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear. You see, the apostle Paul in Acts 28, it says that he was expounding the kingdom of God to them. He was explaining the kingdom of God to these Jews. If you read Acts 28, it talks about he's still teaching the kingdom of God to the Jewish people there in Rome. And And they still rejected the kingdom. They rejected the Messiah. And God, and Paul said, okay, now we are going to the Gentiles, and they are going to listen to us. And so, listen to me. In Acts 28, we have the end of the presentation of the millennial kingdom, or the messianic kingdom, or the mediatorial kingdom, and it's no longer going to be offered. And so the kingdom is postponed. Right now, the kingdom is postponed. We are not reoffering the kingdom. We're doing something different right now in Scranton Revival Baptist Church than the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem did. They were reoffering the kingdom. We are not doing that. And so this is something that we need to understand when we understand the sign gifts that are mentioned in Mark chapter 16 by our Lord. So let me just recap what we've said so far. The Holy Ghost sign gifts of the apostles, the sign gift of tongues is the first thing, and I'll say this, tongues is a sign gift in the book of Acts, which was the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak in a foreign language that you have never learned. Number two, tongues is called a sign gift amongst the other sign gifts listed in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And number three, Jesus offered himself as king of the Jews, and he offered them their mediatorial kingdom if they believed on him, but they didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is number three there. And so Jesus offered these gifts. Now, tongues, number three, tongues was a sign of the judgment upon the unbelieving nation of Israel. The sign gifts of tongues was not only a sign so that they would accept their mediatorial kingdom, but it was a sign of judgment on the unbelieving Jews. This is in 1 Corinthians 14, 21 and 22. The Apostle Paul is speaking about that gift. Now, here's what he says. He says, in the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Notice that. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, he's talking about in the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet they're not going to hear. Who is he talking to there? The law is the Old Testament. He's talking through the prophet to the nation of Israel. And God is saying, I'm going to speak, listen to me, to the unbelieving nation of Israel with men of other lips. In other words, men of other foreign languages that the Jews don't know. They know their language of Hebrews, but they don't know this other language. And I'm going to speak to them. And how is he going to speak to these men of other languages? He's going to speak to them when he sends the soldiers of Babylon into Israel to take them captive, to kill them, to judge them. And so tongues, a foreign language that they haven't learned, and they're listening to that language, is going to be spoken in their ears, and they're not going to like to hear it. And so that shows the meaning of 1 Corinthians 14, 21 and 22. God says there that tongues, the sign gift of tongues, is a sign to the Jewish people that God is going to judge them. Why? Because they don't believe on the Messiah. Why? Because they don't accept the kingdom of the Messiah. And now God is going to, listen to me, take that kingdom from them. And did he do it in history? Yes, he did it in that scripture that we just quoted. He did it in that scripture when God sent the Babylonians in there to judge the people of Israel according to the words of the prophet of Almighty God, he did that very thing. And so that was the judgment of God. And God is warning unbelieving Israel, the Lord will bring a nation against thee. Here's what he says, from afar, from the ends of the earth, as swift as an eagle, flieth a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. That's in Deuteronomy 28:49. Secondly, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. Isaiah 28:11. And what was he speaking of? He was speaking of the fact that God is going to judge Israel. Does anybody know the first judgment of God where these people with other tongues broke in upon the country and began to speak in their ears as they entered into their home speaking a language that was a foreign language to them? Well, it happened in 606 B.C., and then it happened in 597, and then 586 B.C., and Israel was taken captive. But what about, let's move forward, what about in Paul's day? What about in the book of Acts? What about when the apostles were preaching the gospel, and they were also offering the kingdom to Jews? Reoffering it. What judgment was the sign gift of speaking in a foreign language that these men had not learned, supernaturally given by the Holy Ghost, that sign gift? What judgment was that pointing to? Does anybody know? I'll tell you. It was the judgment of Rome coming down in AD 70, and Israel was ended as a nation. There was no Israel from AD 70 all the way up to AD 1948. The Jews went through terrible judgments. And this was God's sign. Listen to me, the speaking in tongues, supernaturally, by the apostles, as they reoffered the kingdom to the Jewish nation that had rejected their Messiah, that had crucified their Messiah, that said, his blood be upon us and on our people. And God said, okay, you're going to experience that judgment. And they did. And it was brought down upon them by Rome. And the nation ended as a nation. AD 70 was no longer constituted as a nation among the nations until May 14. 1948, which I believe is the super sign that we're coming to the end of the age. And this time, Israel will not reject their kingdom. They'll accept it as the Messiah comes a second time and brings in their kingdom. And so we can say tongues was for a sign of judgment upon the unbelieving nation of Israel. I'm gonna end here, but I'm gonna say number one, and I'll just recap three main points. Number one, tongues was a sign gift in the book of Acts, which was the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak in a foreign language that individuals never learned. Number two, tongues is called a sign gift among other sign gifts listed in Mark 16, 17, and 18. And number three, the gift of tongues was for a sign of judgment upon the unbelieving nation of Israel. Let me say something to you tonight. You need to listen to what the Bible says and understand it before you just jump in and try to figure things out. And you need the background and the teaching of the Word of God. And so many people don't have that fully. And so thank God you're getting it. Thank God for, I thank God in my life for the teaching I've got. It saved me from a lot of confusion. It helps me what to focus on. It helps me how to lead the church and how we ought to function. Because let's boil it right down. We're no longer offering the kingdom to Israel. We're not doing that anymore. Were they doing it then? Yes, they were. I think I proved that case. They were doing that then. And I want to say, well, they were doing it then. And I think I proved my case. And I'm just saying, we're not doing it now. because Israel was judged historically. They're regathered now, and when their kingdom is reoffered, and it will be, they will accept it. Praise God, they will accept it. But right now, what are we doing? And here's where we can all agree. Amen? You can agree. Even if you disagree with me, you can agree. Here's what we're doing, right? And you focus right here. Here's what we're doing. And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's what Andy talked about tonight. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. That you can witness to people so they can understand it. Not so they can be judged. They will be if they don't accept it. But so that they can accept it and be saved. And then get baptized. And then function in a local church. And we can serve God together and see lives changed. But I want to, my purpose for preaching on this whole thing of the Holy Spirit's work in the book of Acts is to keep you from confusion and to get you to cooperate with God's purpose right now and what he is doing and understand why you're doing it. All right, amen and amen. Let's close for prayer. I'm going to ask every head.